Welcome to BizRocket Radio with Stone Payton and John Baker. John Baker is a certified financial planner with a Master's of Science in Personal Financial Planning. Certified Financial Planner Board of Standards, Inc. owns the certification mark CFP, Certified Financial Planner, TM and CFP, and in the U.S., which it awards to individuals who successfully complete the CFP Board's initial and ongoing certification requirements. John Baker offers financial planning and securities through Woodbury Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor and broker-dealer, member FINRA SIPC, located at 1050 Crown Point Parkway, Suite 1675, Atlanta, Georgia, 30338. This program is for information purposes only and should not be considered a solicitation of or offer to buy or offer to sell securities or investment advisory services. Information in this program regarding market or other financial information is obtained from sources which are believed to be reliable. We do not warrant or guarantee the timeliness or accuracy of this information. When considering any registered security products, seek a prospectus carefully before you invest. Make sure you consult your financial professional regarding any specific situation. And now, get ready for BizRocket Radio. Here's Stone Payton and John Baker.
Welcome to BizRocket Radio. This is John Baker on another sunny, hot day in Atlanta. Today's show, we're going to be focusing on the rich Atlanta heritage that we have here in the city, and I've got a couple great guests to go through with significant experience in those areas. As most of the listeners know, BizRocket's an opportunity for us to chat with executives and business owners here in the Atlanta area and learn from their experiences. And I think learning a little bit about preserving Atlanta's heritage is a great segue into doing business in Atlanta. So without further ado, I'd like to introduce and welcome our two guests, Wright Mitchell and Rodney Cook. Rodney, we've got via phone, so I'm going to get to him in just a second. But I'd like to start off with Wright. Wright is a partner with Constangi Brooks and Smith, and he is also the president of the Buckhead Heritage Society. So welcome in.
Thanks, John. Thanks for having us on.
Yeah, it's my pleasure. So maybe you could tell me a little bit about your background. Then I'll talk a little bit with Rodney, and then we'll get into some of these great questions.
Sure. I was born here in Atlanta, Georgia, at Piedmont Hospital. Grew up in Buckhead. Went to the Lovett School.
So you're the guy.
I'm the one native, right?
You're the guy,
Rodney. And
Rodney,
I, right?
You and Rodney.
Yeah.
That's the.
But we're never in the same room together. You know, they're never two natives
or on the same roof,
right? Yeah. In the same room together. Grew up here in Atlanta. I remember when the sign on outside the Darlington on Peachtree was in the twos and the 2 millions, the population sign.
Yep. You're starting to date yourself.
Yeah, I know.
Careful.
Well, I'm getting up there. But went to Lovett, and then went to the University of South Carolina, where I played football, and graduated from there and went to Emory Law School. And then out of Emory, started practicing law in Atlanta, and I'm now a partner with the labor and employment firm of Constangi Brooks and Smith. We're a full-service labor and employment firm and help business owners with their employee problems, you know, any matters that might come before the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission or the Department of Labor. We represent management in helping them deal with those issues.
Great. And how did you get involved with the Buckhead Heritage Society?
I have always had a strong interest in Atlanta history, having grown up in Atlanta, and my parents were very interested in Atlanta history and exposed me to it as a young child. I remember going to the Cyclorama and the Wren's Nest, and they would take me around to the different the different historic sites in Atlanta.
Drag you along?
Yeah, drag me along, looking for some way to get me out of the house, my sister and I. And so they instilled in me, you know, at a young age, an appreciation for our historic resources in Atlanta. And I had always carried that, you know, interest in history forward, and was, you know, read lots of books on Atlanta history. And then in 2006, I moved from Virginia Highlands into the Peachtree Heights West area in Buckhead, which is roughly bounded by, to kind of give you a frame of reference, Peachtree to the east, West Wesley to the west, West Basis Ferry to the north, and Peachtree Battle to the south. So that kind of segment of Buckhead there, and we had a rather contentious debate in the neighborhood about whether to become a historic district in Atlanta, which would have meant that any alterations, visible alterations to the homes in the area would have been subject to review by the Atlanta Urban Design Commission. Petrie Heights West is a Career and Hastings development, one of the only residential developments that Career and Hastings did. They're better known for their parks that they've done. At any rate, there was a lot of debate over, you know, whether to subject ourselves as a neighborhood to a review process governed by the city of Atlanta. And,
right.
you know, a lot of people understandably had some heartburn about doing that. And ultimately, it went down to a vote. I was kind of on the side of favoring the regulations that would have governed what people can do, visible alterations to their house. It came down to a neighborhood vote, and it split basically 50-50 down the middle.
Really?
And the proponents, our group, you know, we felt a, you know, larger majority you know, than a 50-50 split to impose something like that on the neighborhood. So we ultimately did not become a historic district. Out of that process, what I learned was that everyone in the neighborhood valued, you know, their historic resources and the historic resources of the neighborhood and the historic resources of Buckhead. There was some disagreement on how to preserve those
right.
resources, but everyone agreed that historic preservation was a very important thing. And so I started looking around, you know, at other communities to see what they had done to protect and preserve their historic resources. And, you know, virtually every community worth its salt has a historic preservation group. Buckhead, for whatever reason, did not. And so in 2006, I founded the Buckhead Heritage Society, and our mission is to protect and preserve Buckhead's historic resources. And, you know, so it was kind of just a recognition that there was no group filling that space, and that I thought there was a need for it, and I hope there was a need for it. And we've since learned that there absolutely is, and we've got more things going on now than we can manage. Hmm. But so we have grown from, you know, a fledgling organization. We had our first board meeting in my in the dining room of my house.
And, right.
So now we have over 500 members, and we have a full-time executive director, and we have a part-time staff person, and we have a, you know, full board of directors, including Sam Massell and some other notable, you know, Buckhead business figures. So at any rate, you know, we are involved in a number of different projects in Buckhead, the most exciting of which is the Buckhead Green Space Initiative, which will add, hopefully, Buckhead is the least parked, believe it or not, District 7 in Buckhead, the least parked district in Atlanta. So somehow, you know, you would think Buckhead, of all places, would have, you know, a plethora of parkland,
right.
but that's not the case yeah. compared to the rest of the city. And Howard Shook, who is the council person for that district, you know, made it his mission to increase the green space. And so Livable Buckhead was created to do that. And we are partnering with Livable Buckhead to basically tell Buckhead's story through the green space plan. And ultimately what that will be is a heritage trail that will run through Buckhead, and it will link up with the Beltline. And also we hope to have you know, driving tours, walking tours, downloadable apps, that sort of thing. And that's just kind of one of the projects, our big project we've got going on now. If you want to go to our website, bucketheritage.com, you can learn about our oral history project. We've got a project now where we're researching the history of the various African-American communities in Buckhead, of which there were several, which a lot of people don't know. So at any rate, it just kind of grew out of my passion for historic preservation and recognition that Buckhead, you know, absolutely needed a historic preservation group to kind of look out for these rich historic resources that we have.
Good stuff. Good stuff. Well, we're gonna turn for a second here to Rodney Cook, and then we're gonna get right back to you there, right on some questions about you know, how do we preserve this great history that we have here in the Atlanta area. So Rodney Cook is the president of the National Monument Foundation that owns the Millennium Gate over in Atlantic Station. And I've known Rodney for several years, actually, as he was building that phenomenal structure that is over there in Atlantic Station. We got to know each other pretty well, and unfortunately he wasn't able to be in the studio, but he is toughing it out from a couple injuries that he acquired over the weekend, and going to join us here on the phone. So Rodney, welcome in.
Thank you, John. It's good to be with you, and Wright as well. I told you he was the man.
Yeah, well, we'll get him to run things here in the studio, and we'll get you in the satellite office out there.
Okay, thanks.
So, Rodney, maybe you could tell us a little bit of background on yourself and kind of how you got involved with Millennium Gate and, you know, dedicating yourself to preserving the history here in the Atlanta area and in Georgia.
Oh, sure. Okay. My middle name is Mims, and through the Mims branch of the family, we've been here for seven generations and had a couple of mayors back in the 19th century, and my dad served in the legislature and the city council for a long time, and my mom also was very instrumental in moving the Tully Smith House from DeKalb County to the grounds of the Atlanta History Center, where she served as a trustee for a long time. So both of them being interested in Colonial Williamsburg, much like Wright, I was taken all over the place to these spots that they loved. And, you know, it rubs off. If you have passionate parents that make sense, you'll really pay attention, or at least the two of us did. And as a result, I've really come to appreciate the rich legacy of what Atlanta has. It's very unique in the South as to other big cities or even, you know, medium-sized like Birmingham, but right just a minute ago was mentioning Carrere and Hastings, which is a great United States firm. Well, they also designed the New York Public Library, which is one of the greatest buildings in the world. So that, along with Olmsted and some other major guys, Atlanta has an interesting legacy.
So, Rodney, how were you motivated to get involved with Millennium Gate?
I've been fortunate to live around the world, and for about a six-year period, I was a trustee for the Prince of Wales Foundation, and I greatly admire Prince Charles and his points of view on architecture and sustainability and neighborhood preservation, and for which he set up several foundations to deal with globally. In the Olympic Games, he was very generous to me to allow me to build the 50-foot-high Olympics monument at Pershing Point, which has five Atlas figures holding up a globe on top of a large pedestal. I was frequently going to other cities around the world and seeing a lavish exercise in civic work that we don't possess enough of. We do for a smaller city, but not for the giant city that we've become. Wright was talking about remembering the Darlington sign at 2. Well, I remember when it was in the hundreds of thousands. I'm so elderly.
You're old, Rodney.
I know it, man. But, you know, we've come a long way in a very short period of time. And for the longest time, we sort of used the excuse of the Civil War and Sherman having burned us down as reason that we don't have as many civic gestures as other cities that are of our size. And I think that's a bad excuse. I think we just need to grow up and start doing more things like this, because things that really appeal to people as a for a city to live in are certainly neighborhoods and schools, but also civic gestures, public squares, public monuments, beautiful civic gestures that they can frequent and interact. And those are the places where your visitors from elsewhere flock to, and that's what they remember you by. And we need to really step up to the plate if we are truly going to remain a world-class city.
So let me jump into a question that's kind of been on my mind. If you have somebody coming from out of town, or you want to go learn a little bit more about the history of Atlanta and Georgia, what are the top couple of places that you should go to check out and see to give you some feel for what our heritage and history is all about?
Well, I think if I could just jump in here, you know, the Atlanta History Center would be a great place to start. Sheffield Hale is the new president and CEO over there, and he's got some real exciting things planned, but they've got a wonderful pioneer exhibit on the early settlers of Atlanta. They've got a fantastic Civil War collection over there, the largest, I think, museum-held collection in the country. And then there's an Olympic exhibit, and they have the Tully Smith, you know, which Rodney referenced earlier, that his I think it was your mother, right, Rodney, that was involved in that, helping move that house over. And there's a little farm down there, and they have a great event called Sheep to Shawl in the spring, where they actually shear sheep. And they talk about, you know, basically you can go down there and see how people would have lived in Buckhead in the 1800s, or Atlanta, really. I mean, Atlanta was a very, you know, rural place back then. So, you know, I would say that, you know, if you're dropped into Atlanta and want to know, you know, where should I go to start my process of learning about this city, I would say to start off at the Atlanta History Center.
Rodney, how about you?
Well, you can guess what my answer might be. I would take them as fast as I could to the Millennium Gate Georgia History Museum in Atlantic Station, inside the Triumphal Arch, which you've both been to. It has the most comprehensive museum of Georgia history in the state. Wright is correct. The Atlanta History Center is so thorough with the Atlanta story, there's nothing better. And one of the things that concerned me when I built the Millennium Gate was that to look at Georgia history, which is rich as it can be, you don't see that here until we built the Millennium Gate. If you go to Savannah, it's everywhere. And we might as well have been the capital of Iowa, as much as we talked about the extraordinary 16th, 17th, 18th century history of our own state. And so the Millennium Gate is designed as a gate into the city, and Atlanta has always called herself the Gate City of the South. So we thought it an appropriate allegory to highlight our history. And in so doing, in the building, it's done in a series of period rooms that recreate Savannah double parlors. There's also a high-tech interactive component, and so we had over 100,000 school kids come through there last year. We're hoping to double that this year. And the teachers typically, we're in a roughly two-hour range, so down to Warner Robins or up to the Chattanooga suburbs, and then you know, Athens a little beyond on the other side, and then over to Carrollton. And so they have to get back in time during the day, and so the teachers will tell us, we got the World of Coke, and we got the Varsity for lunch, and then the aquarium, right. So we'll only be here for 45 minutes.
Right.
And I always just chuckle and say, yes, ma'am, that's fine. And 2.5, 3 hours later, the children are still wandering all over the place, because we always give them a treasure hunt to find information, which involves both the things that are on the wall that are sort of old school, like you and I learned, and then the high-tech interactive, too. It all works together, and they want to know the answers, and we can't get them out. So it's been hugely successful and a really beautiful building, and come on down.
Yeah, I certainly have to give a plug for the whole museum. It's just gorgeous, and it's an amazing structure, and the high-tech interactive piece of it is amazing. What you can learn and what you can see and do in a very short period of time definitely would appeal to any listeners out there that have tech natives in their family, people that grew up with technology. They would love to learn that way. So a great experience for sure.
Yeah. And I would also mention, because Wright might want to talk about it for a second if you have time, his organization recently hosted an event there for the anniversary of the Paris crash at Orly. The anniversary recently came about, and Wright, you might want to mention what y'all did.
Yeah, absolutely. We had an art exhibit at the Millennium Gate in conjunction with the 50th anniversary of the Orly crash, which was a crash in Paris, France, that killed quite a few prominent Atlanta arts patrons. And in commemoration of that event, we thought, you know, what better way to do it than have, you know, an art exhibit with contemporary artists interpreting, you know, themes from the Orly era. And we put them on display down at the Millennium Gate and had it open to the public during the day. And then in the evening, we had an auction, a charity auction, to raise funds to benefit the Buckhead Green Space Plan. And it's a great event venue. And what we heard repeatedly from, you know, our membership that came down from Buckhead that doesn't make it to Atlantic Station a lot is, wow, this place is fantastic. I had no idea it was here.
Yeah.
And so it really is, you know, worth, you know, not just, you know, is it, you know, visually and aesthetically pleasing, but there's also a huge educational component to it. There are a lot, and I particularly like the Atlanta exhibits that are in there. I'm a big fan of Georgia history, but an even bigger fan of Atlanta history. And there are some memorabilia artifacts from some of Atlanta's founding families that are on display there. And it's fascinating to see those personal effects that they have. But it is a it really is a you know, an attribute to the city, and more people should know about it.
So I grew up in the D.C. area, right, and Maryland, Virginia, all those suburbs. When people said, you know, where are you from? I'm from D.C., right? And because you're 20, 30 minutes out of sight of D.C. And the central hub of everything, the historic, and obviously D.C. is a different ballgame, but there was so much down there that people could get pulled to. From a business perspective, it just created a massive business flow that continues to exist today. Obviously, the government being there is a huge part of that. But the rich heritage and history behind D.C., helps to also fuel people wanting to live there and work there. How much of a component do you tie in? Because obviously, this being a business radio station, how do you tie in the importance of having this heritage of lifting it up and showing it and highlighting it to running business and profitable businesses here in the Atlanta area?
Well, if you want me to jump in here, John, I just recently heard William Pate, who's the head of the Atlanta Convention Visitors Bureau, speak, and he was talking about the importance of heritage tourism to the city. And heritage tourism is the tourism in general is the second largest growing sector of Atlanta, of Georgia's economy behind agriculture. And within tourism, heritage tourism is the largest growing component. Hmm. And it accounts for approximately 42% of visitors who come to Atlanta. And so it's a huge revenue generator for the city. And if you look at, and kind of back to what Rodney was alluding to earlier, why people want to visit a city, why people want to live there, I think that, you know, we have suffered in Atlanta from a mentality that if we build it bigger and better, people will come. And what we've kind of lost sight of is, you know, what is our true essence as a city? What is our character? If you look at the great cities of the world, you know, New York, Paris, London, you know, Rodney talked about Savannah, Charleston, you know, places people want to visit, you know, what do they all have in common? They do a fantastic job of telling their story.
Yeah.
as a community and as a city. And we in Atlanta have, in my opinion, done a very poor job of telling our story, and a lot of it, I think, you know, goes back to what Rodney was talking about, you know, painful wounds over the Civil War. And a lot of people think because Sherman burned down much of Atlanta, there's not a whole lot left to see. And I would disagree with that. I mean, I think that you know, the Civil War certainly is a part of our, you know, history, and the sesquicentennial is coming up, and you know, I think it's a you know, an opportunity for the city to capitalize on a big event. Certainly there are lots of Civil War buffs out there that will be, you know, looking for opportunities to visit different Civil War sites in Atlanta. Certainly, you know, the Battle of Peachtree Creek was a very significant battle, and of course the Battle of Atlanta as well. So, you know, I think that we have done a poor job of telling our story as a city, and I think that as a preservation group, we find ourselves, you know, Atlanta Preservation Center, which is run by Boyd Coons, you know, they do a great job, but they have their hands full. And a lot of what they spend their time doing is fighting battles. So someone wants to tear down a historic building,
yep,
they have to go in and, you know, go down to the city and go to the Urban Design Commission meetings and the Zoning Review Board meetings and object and, you know, fight that battle when, you know, I think that, you know, the energy would be better spent promoting our you know, our cultural heritage. But unfortunately, because of the way the, you know, and frankly, you know, to kind of put it a little bit on the shoulders of the business community, it's been something that hasn't been a focus. in Atlanta, the Atlanta's heritage. I think that there is, and certainly we're seeing this in Buckhead now, a recognition that, you know, you cannot build a city on shopping and dining and commerce alone. People want to live in a city and visit a city because it's got some soul. And if we continue to go down the route we're going, that a lot of people say, well, you know, we've already become like Los Angeles in terms of sprawl, that we will just evolve into Los Angeles and there will really be, you know, it will be glitz and glamour and nothing else. And I you know, I think that would be, you know, horribly short-sighted on the part of our political and business leaders. And I think that, you know, with the downturn in the economy, and we're seeing this in Buckhead, you know, there is a recognition now, and I know Rodney's involved in some things down in Vine City that he'll talk about, that, you know, there's a recognition now that, you know, we cannot continue down this path of unfettered growth.
And to jump in to Wright's comments are well taken. History pays. And just from my experience, initially when I was a kid, 14, when I started the effort to save the Fox Theater, if we had lost the Fox, you can probably bet we would not have the Georgian Terrace, the Ponce de Leon apartment building, and a few other buildings immediately in that block. It would probably be parking lots,
right,
with the Southern Bell Tower right in the middle of all that. But we rallied. The city really rallied to essentially draw a line in the sand. It was not happening here anymore. And everyone said it would be a white elephant, and it was not going to succeed, and it's the most successful theater of its type in the nation. I think it every now and then is the most successful theater of its type in the world. Who would have ever believed it? And then certainly the Millennium Gate, as I mentioned to you earlier, we built it after the condominiums immediately around it were already well underway. And when they heard that we were building that building, everything that faced the Millennium Gate sold first.
Yeah.
And they got premiums. They figured this out, and so they jacked up some prices and they got some premiums. So I know that worked. And we've just won a competition in Washington, since, John, you talked about your hometown, for the Eisenhower Memorial to correct the current choice of the Frank Gehry at Maryland Avenue and Independence. And the idea that our design would rebuild that area of Washington just two blocks from the Capitol is tangible, because it's a modernist 1960s era series of buildings immediately adjacent to the Smithsonian. And it is dead at the end of the day. Nobody wants to stay there. And so our design brings it all back to the pedestrian level and makes a really ugly place very beautiful. And because we not only hold competitions and we develop and design and build and own monuments, they had me come testify before Congress about a month ago about this, so that they could better make a decision regarding a different design versus the Frank Gehry for Washington. His is really anti-historical and anti-heroic, and it won't work. And so right up what Wright was saying, if you don't do it properly, you can completely fall flat on your face and make something worse than when you started, or the opposite, really make it better. And Atlanta needs to make it better.
Rodney gets to testify before Congress. I get to testify before Neighborhood Planning Unit B.
You know, like you said, he's got his teeth are a little longer than you,
right,
so you got
yeah,
time to catch
yeah,
up.
Right.
Yeah, and
right?
He falls off roofs too.
Yeah. Well, this is fascinating stuff, and I think from a business perspective, it's clear most people that are, you know, living in a certain area and creating businesses in a certain area, that heritage makes it deeper. Right? You said soul. You said you know, it gives a city a soul. And I think you're so right. It's a matter of having something that you can connect to and a story that you can tell. This is a question that that I thought of right after you, just after you mentioned that. If you could tell the story of Atlanta, what would the story be?
Well, I'm going to let Rodney start with that one. He's been around here a lot longer than I have.
Well, to begin with, you know, we kind of had a Thrasherville terminus kind of beginning. Thrasherville was roughly where the Georgia Bar Association is now. There was a little settlement there.
There's
on Marietta near the Omni.
Historic sign right out front of the bar. I saw it last week.
Yeah, and there's a the Hauserman family are still around from the Thrashers. Philip Hauserman is a good guy. You should have him on sometime. Great business guy, too. And then Terminus down where the Zero Mile Post is. And then you had Fort Standing Peachtree out in Buckhead in Wright's territory where Nancy Creek comes into the Chattahoochee. So you had, and that's more, that fort was built to protect the settlers out there from the Indian population, the Native American population, War of 1812. So there's a range of about 10, 15 years between all those three settlements that ultimately became Atlanta. And one of the things that Wright and I are working on now is the recreation of historic Mims Park. It was built by an ancestor of mine, Livingston Mims, who was a mayor in the late 19th century in Vine City. And an elementary school, which is now called Bethune, overtook the park, and the park was never replaced. And so Mayor Reed now has heard that my father's been pushing me to put it back. And Dad said that that was always a neighborhood that was good to him when he was at large in the state house and the city council. And so just last week, the city council approved the transfer of land, which is adjacent to the school site, which is still functioning, to recreate the Olmsted plan on this site, which is the exact same size. And Wright has a really interesting idea about a significant house that is under his purview that could be one of the nine buildings that we've proposed for our site, which if he could talk about that in just a minute. But one of the things that's really cool about it, Livingston Mims put a giant column in this park in the 1890s with Chief Tomochichi on the top of it. Now, Tomochichi is as well known in Savannah as George Washington or General Oglethorpe. And here, hardly anybody knows who Tomochichi is. He is considered by the British and certainly the people of Georgia as the co-founder of our state or the colony. And when General Oglethorpe landed here in 1733, Tomochichi could have massacred his group, but instead he chose friendship. And I would say, and particularly since we're building this column with his image again in Vine City, that he established, Tomochichi established Georgia as a people and a place, a region, who pursue peace as a routine, more so than anywhere or any other region in the world. I would argue that. And the fact that Livingston Mims put Tomochichi in a spot that is in the 21st century, one block away from where Dr. King raised his family, where Julian Bond's family grew up, where Maynard's family grew up, in sight of the top of this column, which is accessible by elevator. It's a very poignant continuation of that story. And so, in my mind, Atlanta and Georgia, with our flaws and our mistakes, we've had some serious mistakes. We report on those as well at Millennium Gate. But regardless, we picked ourselves up when we made those mistakes and said we're not going to do it again, and that's not the way we are. And we have established ourselves really as a people who pursue that virtue. And that's the thing I think this city should brand and the state should brand.
It's a cool story. Very, very rich in history, for sure.
If Wright could mention to you his cool idea, because he's got a very interesting building that is in peril. Wright, are you okay to talk about that?
Yeah, happy to. The Randolph Lucas House, which is on Peachtree Street, the final remaining grand Peachtree mansion from from the heyday of Peachtree Street, was built by the great-great, you know, great-grandson of Thomas Jefferson. And it is in peril. It is going to be, in all likelihood, torn down by the condo association that owns it. And we at Buckhead Heritage are, you know, attempting to find a place to move it. And so, John, if you want a house, Buckhead Mansion, you're free to have
free
it.
To
just
have
come
it.
Down there with a flatbed and
just need
load
something
it up.
To move
yeah,
it with, right?
Bring it back out here.
up to Roswell.
But, you know, we are soliciting any and all, you know, good ideas about what to do with the house because it is it's a historic structure. As designated by the city, it is not a landmarked structure. If it were a landmarked structure, there would be, you know, more significant protections in place that would prevent it from being torn down. And unfortunately, it's only historically designated, which means that all the condo association needs to do to get a demolition permit is to submit a site plan showing that they're going to put up a replacement structure, which could be something as simple as a gazebo, right. Frankly. So we are trying to, between negotiations with the city and the condo association, we being Buckhead Heritage, along with the Atlanta Preservation Center, create a window of opportunity for the house to be saved, which will create a standstill agreement after the issuance of the demolition permit of 120 days where an interested party could come in and move the house. And, you know, we have had, you know, some interesting ideas about what should be done with the house. I think, you know, frankly, of all the ideas I've heard, one of the best is Rodney's idea of moving it to Mims Park to be used as a community asset down there. I mean, we certainly would hate to lose it in Buckhead. You know, our goal would be to keep it in Buckhead, certainly, but you know, I can't think of a better use for it than being accessible to the public, even if it's not in Buckhead. And I think there are a lot of very interesting and compelling reasons to move it down to Vine City. And, you know, Rodney can kind of talk about those. But, you know, we at Buckhead Heritage, you know, our goal is simply just to create a window of opportunity here for someone to come in, some group to come in and save the house. But we don't have the, you know, the resources to move the house ourselves and don't have a place to put it.
I would imagine that's got to be a fairly large undertaking, moving up, like, I don't know what you mean by mansion.
It's a flat out mansion. I mean, it definitely
you
qualifies.
Move a mansion.
Yeah, I don't, you know, it's been moved once before. It was moved about 35 feet, and I won't get into the whole history of you know, why it was moved and why the condo association hasn't maintained it over the years, but you know, it was moved about 35 feet forward from its current site. And, you know, they move houses all the time. You know, not normally houses this big, but, you know, there's a way to do it. Obviously, in a metropolitan city, it's much more difficult with the
getting around
power wires. Yeah. I mean, those have to be taken down, phone lines, things like that. And so, you know, anything's possible with money, you know,
right.
John. So
right.
It's, you know, we are, you know, this is not a situation where there are really many good alternatives. I mean, the house either is going to be torn down or it's going to be moved, and moving a house is obviously a very difficult proposition, as you've picked up on. But Rodney has, a fantastic idea, and if the right people get on board, I think that, you know, it's a possibility. I mean, I think certainly it's something that bears looking into.
Okay.
Wright's gesture, John, we've been talking about it the last couple of weeks, and it's going back to the spirit that I was describing, you know, the Atlanta way. It's how we do things here. And we've always, between all the communities, worked together to make this place, as Mayor Hartsfield said, the city too busy to hate. And so the gesture that the Buckhead folks have this great building that has all this history, and they want to save it and keep it in Buckhead if they can, but if they can't, they want to share it with the folks in Vine City and help them get a leg up because, as you know, Vine City needs one. And part of what we're going to be doing when we rebuild Mims Park is put a urban farming component in there. They already have a fledgling one down there that's working. But to teach these folks to farm and to feed themselves, and Walmart is rebuilding down there right now, and it would be our hope that we can churn through that Walmart the produce that this community grows themselves. And there's enough land designated in Historic Mims Park for farming that will feed that entire community.
Wow. So changing gears a little bit to looking at the history of Atlanta and the heritage that we have here, what do you see as some of the biggest threats to that continuing and growing?
Who's first?
Either one of you guys.
I'll jump in.
Yeah, please.
I think transportation, we have been known as a transportation center since our founding, and that's what keeps us in the game. If we don't continue keeping this place moving, it won't. And you have circumstances of great American cities who did not make the hard decisions like Buffalo or St. Louis or towns like that. You know, if St. Louis had built a bridge over the Mississippi, Chicago would not be Chicago. Everybody just went up to Chicago because they ran the tracks up there since the folks in St. Louis didn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
The shipping, you know, the ferry guys stopped the bridge from being built forever. I think this highway initiative is something, this new vote that's coming up is a key thing for the city to do. And I think the Savannah Harbor dredging is extremely important because so much of the cargo coming into our port, which I believe is the second largest container port on the East Coast after New York, New Jersey, believe that or not, it runs through Hartsfield-Jackson Airport. And so it is a key component to this area surviving, much less being the global player it purports to be. We've got to do this stuff and keep doing it or we will slide. Cities are fragile. They don't just keep going if poor decisions are made.
Good point.
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly with Rodney. I mean, you know, traffic is a nightmare. Businesses don't want to relocate here because of the traffic. Conventions don't want to come here because of the traffic. So, you know, that's certainly something that needs to be dealt with. And I'll talk more kind of on a basic, legal level about what I think our greatest challenge is as historic preservationists. There is a preservation code in the city of Atlanta and certain procedures that, developers have to go through. And there has been a seeming willingness of, you know, the city of Atlanta and some of the parties down there to try and circumvent the preservation code through legislative action. So I think that, you know, we need to do a better job of educating our legislators on the importance of Atlanta's historic preservation. I think that kind of a weakening of the preservation code is certainly a somewhat troubling development. I know the Atlanta Preservation Center has been fighting that. And I think it's, you know, again, kind of goes back to, somewhat a lack of appreciation of what we have here in Atlanta by the, you know, some of the you know, developers and business leaders. And I hate to be critical of those folks, but I certainly think that you can look around and see what's happened in Atlanta, and it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that, heritage preservation has not been, you know, one of the primary goals of the city. And I think it has been to the detriment, frankly, of our city. I think that we have missed a lot of opportunities, squandered a lot of opportunities to tell our story in a compelling way that would increase the quality of life and draw tourists into the city and keep them here.
It's kind of like turning a tanker, though, isn't it? It's not something that can happen on a dime, and it takes a lot of energy to make the change happen.
It does, but it kind of starts with back to the way Rodney and I were raised by our parents. I mean, it starts with, parents, and parents have to take a, responsibility in all of this. And, you know, there are a ton of great things you can do with your kids. I mean, I kind of in this mindset because I have 7 and 5 year olds. I'm always looking for things to do on the weekends to get out of the house. But yeah. I mean, you know, there are so many great Atlanta historic, sites you can visit. Oakland Cemetery is fantastic. You know, you can spend a day down in Oakland. They have tours down there. They have Halloween tours that are fantastic. The Wren's Nest, Joel Chandler Harris's home over in the West End, is has recently been rehabilitated, and they have storytellers down there that do the Br'er Rabbit stories. And it, I used to go down there on on field trips as a kid, and you know, it's interesting for me to go back now and see how different things are. And there are a lot of, you know, there are a lot of very interesting things going on in Atlanta. And, you know, seek those things out. You know, I know that this past weekend, the Battle of Atlanta folks had a lot of Civil War events. But, you know, as get involved in your local historic preservation group, whether it's the Vinings Preservation Society or, you know, Heritage Sandy Springs or Buckhead Heritage, or, you know, wherever you live, you know, if you have an interest in historic preservation, get involved. And then, you know, educate your kids on the importance of it. And, you know, you kind of work it from both ends. Work by educating tomorrow's generation about the importance of historic preservation. And then, you know, you've got to work on the current, you know, generation by emphasizing the economic importance of historic preservation. I think that's how you get the attention of the business leaders and the political leaders, which is that, you know, heritage tourism, like Rodney was saying, heritage, history pays. And once you get people kind of thinking in those terms, it becomes much easier for them to be willing to preserve an old building, mm-hmm. or to create a park like Mems Park. So, you know, I think you can work at it on both ends there.
Rodney, what are your favorite landmarks here in Atlanta? Maybe the top couple that you really, maybe are pearls of areas that people don't think about.
Other than the Millennium Gate and the Fox,
yep.
Mr. Schutze was, I call him sort of my teacher, my mentor. He was quite elderly when I was just starting to build things, and he kind of took me under his wing. He's the architect of Swan House, which is owned by the Atlanta History Center that Wright was promoting a few minutes ago, and he should. It's one of the most splendid. It's actually English Baroque. It's one of the most splendid buildings, really, in the world. There are few to compare to it, and it's a masterpiece. And though it's a house, it's still a symbol of the city. As far as some other things, I really like what Charlie Loudermilk and Henry Hova did for the Olympics of the old Carnegie Library pavilion. Sadly, we tore down one of the most beautiful buildings in our city, the Carnegie Library at Margaret Mitchell Square. But at Baker Street and Peachtree, in front of the Hyatt Regency and the Sun Trust main headquarters tower, you have this four-sided arched pavilion that were from that old library, four bays from that library that they did, and it is an absolute jewel, and most folks don't really know it's there, but it's a treasure.
Great stuff. Well, I appreciate you guys both coming out. One of the last things we do like to ask our guests is for a pearl of wisdom, and again, maybe tilt it towards heritage, towards business owners, and how that can help. And I will put. I'll put Wright on the spot first. What would your pearls of wisdom be?
My pearl of wisdom, I guess, would be not to do roofing work on your own without proper training, without, and instruction,
and
harnesses.
I got to say, this has been an undercurrent through the whole show, and just to make sure everybody's all in on the thing, Rodney took a little fall. I think it was over the weekend. Rodney, is that right?
No, it was yesterday.
No, yesterday, right before the show. He didn't want to come into the studio so badly that he fell off a roof. And we wish Rodney a speedy recovery.
Thank you.
Gosh, my pearl of wisdom. You know, I guess I don't understand, you know, when I talk to people in Atlanta, people who lived here for a while, that there seems to be kind of this... This ambivalence toward, you know, what Atlanta is, what their community, you know, what's the history of your community. And I would challenge people to, you know, dig into that, because I think that ultimately, you know, your enjoyment of Atlanta and whatever neighborhood you live in, you'll find will increase dramatically once you begin to understand, you know, who started that community, how it evolved, you know, who are the players, you know, who are the business owners, who are the, you know, don't just get in your car and go to work and come home and be oblivious to your surroundings. I would submit that your quality of life will dramatically improve when you begin to gain an understanding of, you know, exactly what type of community that you live in. You know, who were the founders of the community? You know, how did it become what it is today? You know, who are the kind of you know, driving forces behind your community? Get engaged. It will, and I found personally it has enriched my life immensely. And so I would, you know, my pearl of wisdom would be, you know, get out, engage in your community, find something that you're passionate about and do it.
Thank you. Rodney?
I would compel corporate leadership in the city as well as the state to do to look at what we're doing at the National Monuments Foundation and see if they think it might be an interesting formula to really ratchet up the civic realm of the city and the state. We have a really interesting experiment at Historic Mims Park with the city government that, if successful, can be a really interesting model for areas like Vine City to recover. That neighborhood is the most close-in neighborhood surrounded by Atlanta University on the south, the Beltline on the west, Georgia Tech on the north, and the World Congress Center on the east. And it is slam up against downtown with a great vernacular architectural style to it, and it languishes. But one thing that Prince Charles taught me is if you put something beautiful in the middle of that, it will grow organically. And it will just overtake blight. And it has worked for him in various places he's allowed me to work on around the world. And I'm hopeful to get him involved with Mims Park. We've talked about it a good bit, and the mayor's been over there to meet him, and they got on really well. But that's what needs to happen. Government can't or just won't do it anymore. And so there has to be a collaboration between business and government to make our cities beautiful, or to continue that they are beautiful.
Okay, thanks much. Contact information, right? I know you're on your professional side as an attorney. If anybody wants to reach out to you, or on this, you know, the historical kind of piece of Atlanta and Buckhead in particular, what contact information?
Sure. You know, you can reach me through Constanji Brooks and Smith, my law firm. You know, my direct dial, you can call me directly, is 404-230-6728. My email is wmitchell with two L's at Constanji, Constanggy.com. If you're interested in historic preservation, you reside in Buckhead, buckheadheritage.com. Check it out. You can join there, various membership levels. And so, yeah, it would be, we're always looking for new members at Buckhead Heritage.
Okay. And Rodney, any contact information for you?
Sure. I am at, you can look up the Millennium Gate at thegateatlanta.com. We're at 395 17th Street in the middle of the avenue in the heart of Atlantic Station in Midtown. And the number there is 404-875-3533. Ask at thenmf.org stands for the National Monuments Foundation.
Okay.
Next time we'll get Rodney to get Prince Charles on the show.
If you can get Prince Charles, we'll go for an hour and a half if you really
but
need.
It'd probably be by telephone.
That would be fine. I will take that if you can get it. So thank you guys again for taking your time in. Rodney, certainly going the extra mile to sign in. I know that you haven't had the best 24 hours, so we appreciate you coming and chatting with us. Right, great to meet you, and you know, inspirational stuff you guys are talking about, so we do definitely appreciate it. To our listeners, we appreciate you taking the time out today, and until next week, be safe.
John Baker is a certified financial planner with a Master's of Science in Personal Financial Planning. Certified Financial Planner Board of Standards, Inc. owns the certification mark CFP, Certified Financial Planner, TM and CFP, and in the U.S., which it awards to individuals who successfully complete the CFP Board's initial and ongoing certification requirements. John Baker offers financial planning and securities through Woodbury Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor and broker-dealer, member FINRA SIPC, located at 1050 Crown Point Parkway, Suite 1675, Atlanta, Georgia, 30338. This program is for information purposes only and should not be considered a solicitation of or offer to buy or offer to sell securities or investment advisory services. Information in this program regarding market or other financial information is obtained from sources which are believed to be reliable. We do not warrant or guarantee the timeliness or accuracy of this information. When considering any registered security products, seek a prospectus carefully before you invest. Make sure you consult your financial professional regarding any specific situation.